Our study this week is in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. If there were one chapter of the Bible that I would choose to memorize, it would be the 14th chapter of John. It's a insight that John gives to us of Jesus in a question-answer session with his disciples. They are asking the questions, he's providing the answers. And thus it is fascinating as Jesus is in this more or less final discourse with his disciples prior to his arrest and being crucified. So these are intimate moments with the Savior. And we are brought by John into the intimacy of the Last Supper and of the conversation that followed as we get into chapter 14. So we encourage you to read it over. Tonight we'll be studying the entire 14th chapter. This morning we'd like to look at verse 1, where Jesus is saying to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled." The reason I believe that he said this to them is that he knew that tomorrow their hearts are going to be very troubled. Tomorrow they're going to see him hanging on a cross. Tomorrow they're going to see him dying. And this is in total opposition to everything that they believed concerning the Messiah. They have been hoping to see him establish the kingdom of God. They had been hoping that they would begin soon to reign over the earth with him. And he knew that as he hung there on the cross and as he died, their hearts were going to be very troubled. And thus he is more or less preparing them as he is saying to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled." You see, they had banked on the kingdom. They had banked on Jesus being the Messiah. As Peter said, "Lord, we have forsaken all and followed you." They gave up everything to follow Jesus in hopes and in anticipation of his setting up his kingdom immediately here on the earth. And thus, though he had tried to warn them over and over, telling them that he was going to be crucified and slain, they just could not accept it. But when it becomes a reality, their hearts are going to be deeply troubled. Their hope will be dashed, and thus their hearts will be troubled. Their hearts were troubled as he was talking to them because he had been saying things that they did not understand. It's difficult when we don't understand what God is doing in our lives. And many times our hearts are troubled when we cannot understand the ways of God. He had been saying, "I'm going to be going away from you." That troubled them. They had become used to being with him. They had come to depend upon him. For him to be talking about going away from them now was troubling to them. He is saying, "You can't come with me now." And this bothered them. "Why can't we go with you?" They had been with him for 3 years and they just could not imagine life without him. It had been a glorious 3 years, 3 years of constant excitement and joy as they watched him work. And now he's talking about going away. That troubled them. And one of the most troubling things for the heart of man is the uncertainty of the future. there are many people who always seem to have a foreboding of the future. They die 1,000 deaths while they are fearing one. And they just are uncertain about what might happen tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. They're not so concerned about that. That's past. But what about tomorrow? And what about next week? And what kind of things will we be facing? Or maybe there are things that are ahead for you that you are not desiring, and yet you must face them, and you don't know yet what the outcome will be. And it troubles your heart, the uncertainty of the future. And so Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. And then he gives them the answer for the troubled heart. First of all, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. The answer to the troubled heart is putting your faith and your trust in Jesus, believing in him. He is just saying, trust me. That's not always easy. But yet, until you come to a trust in him, you will find that your heart will be troubled. And then he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You don't have to worry about the future. Your future is very secured. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. He had been telling them that he was going away, and now he is telling them why he is going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you in his Father's house. David, in his 23rd Psalm, declared, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord. Jesus is saying, in my Father's house, there are many abiding places, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. You don't have to be apprehensive about tomorrow. It's filled with excitement and joy and wonders. Your future is secure. He had told them that they shouldn't worry about tomorrow. What they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to wear. He said, consider the birds of the air. Your Father feeds them. Consider the flowers of the field. Your Father clothes them with beauty. And if your Father will feed the birds and clothe the fields with such beauty, surely he will take care of you. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Let not your heart be troubled as far as what tomorrow might bring. Let not your heart be troubled, for I'm going to come again. Yes, I'm going away, but I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Though you cannot come now, you can come later. I'll come and get you. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And as I have that place prepared, then I'm going to come and I'm going to get you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Surely the hope and the belief of every believer is that of dwelling forever in the glories of the kingdom of God, where God has promised such joy that it is indescribable and it's full of glory. Someone has said, when the outlook is bad, try the uplook. In my Father's house, many mansions. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said, because I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, that he may abide with you forever, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, neither does it know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he's going to be in you. Let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going to pray the Father. He will give you another comforter. The word comforter there in Greek is parakletos. It is one who comes alongside to help. The word kletos is to help, and para is alongside of. So one who comes alongside of you to help you. Now, Jesus had been alongside of them for the 3 years that they had been with him. And they had come to trust in him. They had come to rely upon him. He was a handy one to have around. He was always the master of every situation. They always felt, you don't have to worry, Jesus is here. You know, any kind of hassle or whatever that they might be going through, they would cast it off because Jesus is here. Now, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be here. That created a troubled heart. But he said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter, one that will abide with you forever. So there will be one who will come alongside of you to help you. And when he comes alongside, he's going to teach you all things and bring everything to your remembrance what I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit was going to help them. Help them by bringing to their memory the words of Jesus. It's interesting how that in the scriptures, after the Holy Spirit had come, suddenly the words of Jesus came back to their minds. In the second chapter of John, verse 22, we read, when therefore Jesus was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. But it came back to them after his, oh yes, remember what he said. John 12, 16, these things they did not understand at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. So the scriptures came alive by the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, they began to put two and two together. Suddenly, these difficult passages of scripture were clearly understood. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's alongside of you to help you to understand the Word of God, to open up the scriptures to your heart, to teach you the truths of God. In Acts, the 11th chapter, Peter was more or less called on the carpet because he went to the house of a Gentile and entered into the house of a Gentile, which was strictly forbidden by the Jews. And so he was brought before the church council to give an account of why he had gone to the Gentiles. And so as Peter was giving an account, verse 15, he said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Suddenly it came to his remembrance. It all fit together. It just came together by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to be alone. You're not going to be without help. Though I will not be there physically and visibly as I have been, the Holy Spirit will be there with you to help you. And then he went on to say, I will not leave you comfortless. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm not going to desert you. Now, surely it sounded like he was going to desert them. I'm going away. You can't come with me now. And they felt like they were orphans. He's deserting us. He's leaving us in a trash bin. And, he's deserting. But he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. The word here, comfortless, is different from in the earlier text. This is orphanos. Now, can you think of what word, English word, might come from the Greek orphanos? I will not leave you orphans. It's practically a transliteration of the Greek. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to desert you. He said, I will come to you. So not only will I pray the Father to give you another one to help you, but I will come to you. And whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. You now have access to the Father by my going away. I'm going to open the way for you. I'm the way, the truth, the life. And you can't come to the Father but by me. But if you will come to the Father in my name, then I will give whatever you ask, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Let not your heart be troubled, because the Father loves you, and he's going to manifest himself to you. He said in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So the Father loves you. Don't let your heart be troubled. The Father loves you. Note, we have the Father's love. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. And we have the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Surely, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Surely we have no reason to have a troubled heart about the power of the enemy that may be opposed to us and standing against us. For our Lord will destroy our foes. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the children of God. Perhaps you've heard on the news that we're being sued by the former tenant that was there at Murrieta, the bar owner. He said that we destroyed his business. And thus he is suing us, saying that we conspired in all kinds of foolish and ridiculous accusations. The truth of the matter is that he didn't pay one penny's rent because I didn't want one penny of bar's rent. The Bible says you're not to bring the price of a dog or a whore into the temple of God. And I thought, well, I don't think we should bring the bar in either. So we just said, you can have free rent. Just get out. So we had them sign an agreement, because the laws are such that it's awfully hard to evict people. And with 560 pastors' wives coming in, that would have put a damper on his business anyhow. But we just didn't want to mix crowds. So we said, all right, we'll give you free use of the facility. We won't charge you. And you can, but we're going to renovate everything. Things are going to be torn up. If you'll agree to be out of there by the 15th of September. So they signed an agreement that they'd be out. And so we let them go from June to the 15th of September. We just wanted to make sure they'd be out of there by the time we opened. And then turns around and sues us. So, so, no problem. They don't realize who they're tangling with. Not me, but my father. And he's tough in these kind of situations. No weapon formed against you. Don't let your heart be troubled. And then Jesus said that he and the Father will come and make their abode with us. They'll come and live in us. Now, the heavens of heaven, Solomon said, cannot contain God. And yet, he has deigned to live within my heart. Our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in us. The triune God lives in me, and if God be for us, who can be against us? And then Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Now, one of the earmarks of the life of Jesus was peace. He never seemed to be disturbed or worried over a thing. In fact, when the disciples were terrified because they figured their little boat was sinking, he was asleep. Wasn't worried about it. A man of peace. And he says, my peace I give unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled. I give you my peace. And not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world gives, but it takes back. The world gives, but it so quickly fades away. The joy of the world passes so rapidly. The love of the world is so fickle. You can be the world's darling today, but it's goat tomorrow. He said, I don't give like the world gives. The peace that he gives is a lasting peace. The joy that he gives is a lasting joy. The love that he gives is an unchanging love. Let not your heart be troubled, he said, and neither let it be afraid. Now, this actually becomes a command of Jesus to you. Don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. So, what does it mean if today your heart is troubled and if today you are filled with fear? It means that you haven't become conscious of your relationship with him and of his love for you. Somehow it just hasn't sunk in. You don't realize just how much the Father is concerned, how much the Father does love. In fact, we are told that perfect love casts out all fear, and he who fears is not yet perfected in love. Jesus is telling you, don't be worried. Don't have a troubled heart. The Father loves you. Don't be afraid of what may lie ahead this week. The Father loves you. You're his child. He's going to take care of you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we pray. Father, we thank you for your love. And we thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us and that you even now are preparing a place for us, and you're going to come again and receive us, that where you are, we might be with you forever. We thank you, Lord, that you're watching over us, caring for us, providing. And so, Lord, may your Holy Spirit now teach us how to trust and commit our ways fully to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Now, let me say this, though. If you're not a Christian, your heart should be troubled. You've got a very you've got a certain future, but it's not very pleasant. And I would advise you, strongly advise you, to believe in Jesus. He said, was the first cure. You believe in God, believe also in me. A lot of people say, well, I believe in God. Well, you need to believe in Jesus, because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. So you need to come into a relationship with God, not just to believe in him, but to come into a relationship with him, and that's through Jesus Christ, believing in him. If your heart is troubled today, I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room, and as the scripture said, cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. So just go back there, cast all your cares, all of these worries, anxieties, anything you might have that's troubling your heart, just cast them on him and then go home. And quit worrying about it. Just leave them there. Don't take them out the door with you. Just leave them there. And if Satan tries to bring up that specter and haunt you and say, oh, but what? Say, hey, he's taking care of it. My father's going to take care of it, and you better watch out when he does. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May God give you a glorious week of just rejoicing in the promises that we have in Jesus Christ, and in the richness of the fellowship that we can experience through the Holy Spirit. May it be a blessed, glorious, banner-setting week as you walk with him.